I find both equally interesting.
It's best if you put your ear on the direct sound.
Is this deliberate or it just happened because of the recording?
Because of the different recording, because they're from all over the world too, so.
I feel like, you know, kind of spying or something.
I think it's freaky because I feel like there's people living in there.
Yeah. That's also a possible interpretation. So I'm putting my ear against some wooden poles that have some contact knives attached on the other side, and then I put my ear against the wood and I listen to the sounds. They have also some cups, paper cups that you can use to amplify the sound. So this is how it sounds like without the cup. So let's move on to another one. Yeah, so that's how it sounds without the cup. With the cup. Are the cups on the floor doing something or?
No.
Okay. Cool. Although I would prefer the space to be on its own private space, mm-hmm. because it's a very intimate kind of sense to it, you know, kind of putting your ear in a secret, kind of listen to these voices and stuff. So, and also I like the way it's presented, also it's, although it's very simple, I like the way that it's kind of a, it's like, it looks like some kind of, how do you call it? In memoriam of, you know, some kind of statue, or it's not statue, in honor of the people's voices or something, some kind of statue or temple or, I don't know, how do you call that in English, but...
Actually, you asked about those cups, so they're lines there to mark the borders of...
Yeah.
This is a community,
mm-hmm.
so it's... supposed to be like a city,
mm-hmm.
so the cups line the border of the city, mm-hmm. so that when you enter it, you become a part of the community.
So may I ask something? Is the positioning of the ear on the, you know, across the wood, defining the sound that I'm listening to? So for example, if I put my ear down there, there will be a totally different story going on?
No.
Okay.
It's purple.
Mm-hmm.
As if you notice, the way this sort of works,
mm-hmm.
is that on the back of these,
mm-hmm.
there's these pieces, which mm-hmm. are piezoelectrics, which I'm mm-hmm. sure you're sort of familiar
yeah.
with as
yeah.
contact
yeah.
mics, but here we're using them instead of speakers.
Mm-hmm.
So this entire thing is just wired together as a giant chain
mm-hmm.
of piezos, and then all of them are sort of producing the energy that's moving the pulse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of lined through as well, so that...
Yeah.
You know, it's more like there's a lot more than just one sort of single point that's hitting
mm-hmm.
the pole. It tends to work better with the
eye.
Yeah.
My question though is that wouldn't it be also interesting to have like if that's a building in a community area, let's say that's like 10 floors or something. To have like different sections with different voices on each so
yeah.
people can actually, you know, if they find it, you know.
Well, the experience is different. And we also had performances
mm-hmm.
That aim to kind of transform the participants into participants into the community of voice, and then the idea of having such a large surface area or
mm-hmm.
a long surface area was that we try to gather listeners into communities
mm-hmm.
and listen in different positions
mm-hmm.
and share the same story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The content behind
mm-hmm.
it and find the common poem.
Mm-hmm.
The metaphors guiding the project for their home and
of mm-hmm. I mean, also that is very important, yes, like have all the surface as a community bonding kind of experience,
yeah, yeah.
which is good. So what kind of voices are, like the recordings that you're using, they're coming from?
All over, yeah.
yeah.
So there's a focus on,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've noticed, but there's a range of ages
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah,
there's a focus
that.
On, we're all from Brown University,
mm-hmm.
so there was a heavy focus on the Brown University community, but we also, I don't know if you noticed, but there was a lot of people saying they're from Providence,
mm-hmm.
so
mm-hmm.
there was a Providence community focus as well, so
mm-hmm.
we were able to visit people who are a lot older in the
mm-hmm.
Providence community, so there's like this range of ages.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond just that, it's actually from people from all over the world,
mm-hmm.
so if you explore the space enough,
mm-hmm.
you'll start encountering people with different languages,
mm-hmm.
people who are from China,
mm-hmm.
people from Korea,
mm-hmm.
People speak Spanish. So we, within the listening laboratory,
mm-hmm.
we have people from different places in the world. Like
mm-hmm.
for example, Yana's from Romania.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm from Greece, by the way. We are neighbors.
And we have another member who's from China.
Mm-hmm.
So we went and we got like
mm-hmm.
sounds from.
And what was your call when you were doing this call for work? What was your question? Send me your voice. Or did you have a specific list of questions that they would have to answer?
One single question.
How are you?
Truthfully.
How are you?
And the truthfully part is the key. How are you? Truthfully.
It's the most important question most of the day,
yeah.
most of the times of the day, I guess.
To give it a prodding note, get some people kind of open up.
Yeah, yeah. Right. There was something else that I wanted to ask you. Yeah.
Well,
Yeah.
It's just interesting because our guiding question of the project is, what would the world sound like if every time you question how are you were asked, it was answered truthfully. And it's just funny because if you walk through and listen, you'll still encounter that interaction, that how are you? I'm good.
So I wanted to ask you a question about the distribution of the sound files on the different poles. Is that like a random thing going on, or I mean, how long are the recordings are, and how much recordings do you have, and how they are distributed? Like, is there a specific pattern that you're following, or is it like, you know, a random thing that, you know?
Or so each pole kind of has like a different
channel or something.
Like a different sort of like. It's grouped differently depending on the age group, the type of people,
interesting.
Emotion of the voice as well.
Interesting.
And then within that group, it's sort of just choosing at random and playing voices.
That's very
that
interesting, yeah.
But they've been grouped together, and then, yeah, all the poles are different as well.
And that's why you'll notice, like, the older people's voices, you'll hear a lot of them consecutively.
Yeah.
And if you don't give it time, then you'll just think
time.
Everybody's teenager. Like, you'll be like, oh, it's just a bunch of teenagers complaining about homework. So it really depends on which region you're in.
But it's definitely a piece that needs time to be experienced fully, I guess. Maybe next time you have more of these, because I think it'll be even more interesting to have, visually, to have, like, even more of these things going on. And you know.
There was 16 originally.
Oh.
And right now there's 10 up.
But where we installed it twice at Brown University, and we had...
Where did you install it before?
At Brown.
Brown, awesome.
And we used all the poles in different spaces, and the idea behind the project was also animating spaces. And we, at Brown, we chose spaces of passage, so that people could walk through from one door to the other. And enter at one spot and then cross, walk through, and
exit. It's literally just a sort of straight passageway. There's one door outside, one side, one door.
Right.
Side, so.
Yeah. Have you ever thought of, like, not pushing the boundaries, but basically exploring the different possibilities of different surfaces, like maybe different sizes? Maybe some stories are only for two people to listen to, or for one people to listen to, or maybe more. Or maybe some people would like to lay down on the floor.
At Brown University, when we installed it in the passageway, we sort of attached speakers to various sort of objects within the space, like benches,
so, like,
trash cans.
Yeah, right.
Vending machines.
Yeah.
Those all have voices.
So we have this bench, and basically, like, if you sit on it, you might feel something, but not really. And then if you lay down on it and you put your hand to it, then you'll start hearing voices from under your seat.
In the first location we installed it, we had different sizes.
Yeah.
But we felt that it were better in the second location, hold of different sizes, because the space seemed more appropriate for for having poles of
the
same size.
Yes, and it wasn't exactly a space meant for an installation either, so it had very much kind of...
We just limited the space
to our own.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the problem with most galleries, you know. Most galleries are not meant for sound arts, so you have to be flexible enough to reshape your piece.
I think we've had different ways of sort of, like, erecting...
As long as the concept is there,
yeah,
then you can definitely have different shapes and forms of the same thing, I guess. So you're all, like, have you collaborated before, or is this your first project that you're working on together?
Well, we started together. We founded the Listening Laboratory, which is a performance group at Brown, focused on audio work mostly. And this was the first project that we worked on as part of the Listening Laboratory.
So basically how the Listening Laboratory works is we all know each other in, like, several different ways, but I would say performance art contexts. I don't know how you guys know each other, but I worked with Yana previously on a theater project. So it just transformed that way. Then we got together and then decided, this group is something that we should consider.
Good, and the interesting thing is, like, it's a very nice piece, and you're really young, so there's lots of hope coming from you, I guess. and lots of other projects going on. So what's next for you? Are you going to be presenting it to a different location?
We're going to move on to a different project. Okay.
This may be goodbye.
Oh, really?
To
okay.
this specific piece.
We've worked on it since October, September last year.
Maybe you could present in Romania. If it's possible.
Here's the thing, it is so heavy. It is.
I mean, you can go to Romania and make some new stuff, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I feel your idea of having different levels would work if there were less poles. I mean, there's so many poles in the space. To have all of those different.
It would be like a city, eh?
Yeah, but if we had like one or two, then those, or three, sort of all lined up against a wall, sort of like a skyline. And that would be and that would probably work better in other situations because these are pretty hard to transport.
And we just wanted like multiple people to be like we had at sometimes like four people sharing one pole, and we wanted them to be able to be sharing the same experience. But you're heavy.
Go up to the pole.
See, and so
he is dropping.
So you see that process right there. That's I think that's a really interesting component of this entire thing, is that you have to discover these things.
And again, the sort of intimacy you mentioned is something that most people aren't quite like prepared for.
You know, like asking them to explore their explore their kind of eavesdropping kind of
capability.
Cool. So can you present briefly yourself, like your names, and so we can end the session? So you are?
I'm Quyen Ngo, and I'm the communications director for A Thousand Voices.
And you are?
I'm Ryan Lester. I am the tech director.
Tech spec.
And I'm Yana Zhukan. I'm the artistic director of the project.
Great. It was nice talking to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.